your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to do part 2 of our two-part sermon on being spirit-led and having spirit-led behavior. We are looking at the final verses of chapter 4 in Ephesians. So let's start reading. Actually, I'd like to give a little context here. So let's start reading in verse 23 of chapter 4. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." And here's where we'll be starting off. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, these truths that you have put before us this morning are so important. I pray that you would renew the spirit of our minds today with the truths that you have put before us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths clearly, that you would give us spiritual understanding, that you would enlighten us, that you would fill us with your fullness, that we would know the love of Christ and the blessings of it. Please, Lord, work in our hearts today, that our lives may glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Earlier in this chapter, we learned that God wants us to be in a constant process of getting rid of our old sinful habits, the old man, and replacing them with good Christ-like habits, the new man. We learned that these new habits are developed by the renewing of our mind. This renewing comes as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, the truth of Jesus Christ and how he wants us to live. Now, as we allow the truths of Jesus to renew our minds, it affects our actions, and we develop a new godly behavioral habit. Now, with that said, let me turn the page. We are given the habits that Jesus wants us to develop in this passage. These habits will be developed as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, because he will be grieved if we refuse to abandon our old sinful habits. So understand, God, because he cares about us so much, he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell everyone that puts their trust in Jesus, and he cares so much that he is prodding us to abolish the old sinful habits that we had in our lives and to take on these new Christ-like habits that will bring glory and honor to Jesus and will benefit us and others around us as well. Because remember, this passage of Scripture is given to us in the overall context that he wants us to be unified in our relationships with others. He wants us to have a unification, especially among believers, where we can operate as a body that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ, His body that is used for His purposes. That is what these habits will help us do. These habits will be developed as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, because He will be grieved if we refuse to abandon our old sinful habits. Now, pleasing our Savior should be our main motivation. Pleasing our Savior should be our main motivation for developing these habits. Jesus Christ, He died on the cross for our sins, sacrificed His life so that we could have eternal life. He did that so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a clean slate and be reconciled to God and have a hope of eternal life. Eternal life. So, certainly, pleasing the one who has given us eternal life, where we'll have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, certainly that should motivate us to want to abandon our old sinful habits and adopt these new Christ-like habits. But there is another value in developing these godly habits that should motivate us, and that is how it will help us in our relationships with others. So how these habits will help us, these godly habits, will help us in our relationships with others. I was on the plane back from Nashville last week to Rhode Island, and I was talking with a lady from Albany, New York, and she was telling me about how she had seen other churches in her area, and she thought maybe she would want to find one, and she was in a religion growing up, but you know, really didn't have a relationship with the Lord, and that's what I gathered. And the thing that I told her was this: I said, Jesus gave two great commandments. He gave us two great commandments. The first was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so you want to find a church where those two things are being taught and communicated, and where you can grow to do those two things, where you can be encouraged to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love others as yourself. So these habits that we're talking about here will develop those two areas of your life. It will help you love the Lord your God, and it will help you relate to others the way you should. That's what we're looking for here, and that's what we see here. So remember, the overall context of this letter is to be unified in the body of Christ for His glory. So, last week we learned that the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habits of honesty, anger management — that's the one I have the most trouble with, anger management — and honest labor. Honest labor, you know, working hard. And so these three habits will help us not only please the Holy Spirit of God, but also help us in our relationships with others. Now let's take a look at this passage and see what other habits the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop. So let's look at verse 29 again. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, the word for corrupt here is the word rotten. It literally means rotten. Rotten words destroy and tear down relationships. Let me repeat that. Rotten words destroy and tear down relationships. In his book, The Youth Builder, Jim Burns talks about the importance of building up young people with affirmation, and trust. What he says about criticism applies to every age group. For every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect in our life. Most young people receive more critical comments a day than encouraging ones. Now, I've seen this over and over again, where parents are constantly criticizing and demeaning their children. Constantly criticizing and demeaning their children. Do you know what that does to your relationship with your child? It destroys that relationship. It puts up hindrances from you and that child being right with one another, and it puts a roadblock between you and being able to teach your child the real values of life. Do you really want that? Do you really want that block between you and your children? Hey, stop the rotten speech. Do you really want that between you and your spouse, where you're constantly criticizing and demeaning him or her? Hey, stop it. It's destroying your marriage. Don't allow it to happen. Put it aside. Instead of these rotten words that hurt our relationships with others, we should replace them with words that help others and strengthen our relationships with them. Notice it says, speak words that are good for necessary edification. Now, I like the way that's phrased. Necessary edification. In other words, edification is what is necessary in your relationship with others. You should be edifying them. Now, what does the word edify mean? It means to encourage, to build up. Encourage and build up. And in the context here, it means to encourage and build up people's faith in the Lord Jesus. So, we want our speech towards the people that we relate to be edifying them, to encourage them and build them up towards faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we want. Now, when we criticize and demean people, that's the opposite effect. That's going to draw people away from Christ, especially if we're claiming Jesus as our Savior. If we're claiming Jesus as our Savior and we're constantly talking bad about people, constantly demeaning people, having fits of rage towards people, guess what? That's going to hinder us from edifying them. It's going to hinder us from edifying them. So we, instead of these rotten words that hurt our relationship with others, we should replace them with words that help others and strengthen our relationships with them. Instead of a constant criticism and denigration of others, we should be speaking to them in ways that help them live for the Lord. Rabbi Joseph Tuliskin, author of Words That Hurt, Words That Heal, often lectures on the impact of words. He asked audiences if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about another person or to another person. Invariably, a small number of listeners raised their hands, signifying yes. Others laughed, and quite a large number called out no. Think about this. You know, those of you who can't answer yes, think about that for a minute. Look at your life. Have you gone 24 hours without saying something bad about someone, without criticizing someone, without demeaning someone, without complaining about someone? You know, this rotten speech. You got a problem. You know, this guy goes on to say, those of you who can't answer yes must recognize that you have a serious problem. If you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, you are addicted to alcohol. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, you are addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you have lost control over your tongue. And this is what I'm talking about in habits. We develop habits of either good edifying speech or corrupt speech. And it's a habit that comes. So we've got to put away these corrupt words. Put away these corrupt speech, evil speaking in our lives. Put away these rotten things. We need to put away the habits of rotten speech and replace them with speech that helps others. We need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to point out every rotten word we speak and help us replace them with edifying words. That's what I want you to do, okay? Recognize the problem. Understand that, hey, a lot of people have this problem. To some degree, we all have this problem. But then realize, like we've said through this whole study, the Holy Spirit of God will give you the grace and power you need according to His riches and glory to help you overcome rotten speech in your life. So if that's the truth, and we're supposed to be renewed in our minds by the truth, then we need to take that truth, apply it to our lives, and say, Holy Spirit, will you please point out to me every rotten word that I speak and help me to get rid of it and replace it with good, edifying speech? Ask Him. I guarantee, you say, how can you guarantee this? Because of the promises of God. I guarantee, if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of rotten speech and point out when you're speaking badly, He will. I guarantee it. I guarantee He will. Guarantee it. How can I say that? Because He promises He will. He promises to answer prayers that are in line with His will. Is it His will that we stop speaking rotten? Absolutely. So when we ask Him to help us, is He? Absolutely. There's no question about it. If you believe in a holy, righteous God who created this universe, then you can believe that He will answer that prayer. Now, not only that, we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to point out all these rotten words and help us to replace them with edifying words. So instead of criticism, we need praise. Replace it with praise. Ask yourself, are my words helping the person I am talking to live for the Lord? Now, I want you to understand, there may be times where you have to say something negative to someone, but you say it in a way that edifies them, okay? In a way that edifies them. Not tear them down, but edifies them. So I'm not saying you can't ever say anything negative to someone, because part of edifying someone is helping them see their problem and helping them overcome it, okay? So, are my words helping or hurting my relationship with that person? This is very important. If we want good relationships with others, we got to make sure that the words we speak to them are actually helping our relationship with them and not hurting it. So, let's develop the habit of edifying speech. Let's develop the habit of edifying speech. Now, let's look at verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of abolishing disunity with others. Now, let me explain. All of these behaviors that are listed in verse 31 separate us from others. They separate. Bitterness separates us. Sour feelings, these sour feelings that we have about others, it separates us from the one that we have bitterness towards. Wrath, outbursts of rage. You know, you just fly off the handle and just wig out on the person that you're around. Do you think that really brings you guys closer together? Has anybody been brought closer together by outbursts of rage? I mean, really, I don't think so. Anger, that smoldering, this word for anger here is a smoldering anger. You're holding it in, you're fueling the fire, you're making sure it gets real hot, and then one day it's coming out. That's what this is talking about. Clamor, this word means verbal abuse, quarreling, and complaining. It's all these things that just divide us with others. Dividing. Evil speaking, this word here means slander, to impugn someone's character. It's obviously something that's going to separate you from others. Malice is ill will. Boy, I hope that guy drops off the face of the earth. That, you know, something like that. You know, I hope he gets in an accident. Something like that. Ill will. All these attributes, attitudes, divide us with others. But aren't we supposed to be unified with others? Aren't we supposed to be unified with each other as Christians so that we can fulfill the purpose of God? Aren't we supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves? How can we do that if we got all this going on towards our neighbor? We can't. We have to do away. We have to abolish these things, these habits that are creating disunity with others. So we can see how these behaviors can only hurt our relationship with others, but it will also hurt you. That is what I want you to remember too. Not only will this hurt your relationship with others, but it will also hurt you. Bitterness has been medically linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. One leading psychiatrist wrote, 90%, if this is true, this is amazing, 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. And that's what we're going to talk about next. But think about that. If you hold on to these attributes in your life, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, if you hold on to these, not only does it hurt your relationship with others, but it hurts you. It hurts you. So let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us put away these bad behaviors by renewing our minds with the truth. So I was reading this illustration. A man heard a sermon about and was exposed to Colossians 3:8, where it says, get rid of anger. And he decided that he was going to ask the Lord to call to his mind this verse every time he felt angry or had an outburst of anger. And it really helped him. That's what I want you to do too. Do you have a problem with any of these things? With bitterness, with wrath, with anger, with clamor, with evil speaking or malice? If you have a problem with any of these things, ask the Holy Spirit to recall this very verse to your mind so that it can help you change your actions. Change your attitudes. Because if you don't, it's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt your relationships with others. So let's memorize this truth and ask the Holy Spirit to help us recall it when the next time we have bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, malice, and be able to put away those things in our lives. Now finally, let's look at verse 32. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake forgave you." Finally, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of being a peacemaker. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of being a peacemaker. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, being at peace with others is what Jesus is talking about. Those who are God's children will develop the habit of being at peace with others. Let me repeat that. As soon as I can find it again. Being at peace with others is what Jesus is talking about. Those who are God's children will develop the habit of being at peace with others. Now, how do we develop that habit? Well, first of all, we be kind to others. We be kind to them. Now, this means to be considerate and accommodating. To be considerate and accommodating. I'm sure this has happened at your dinner table. You're sitting there with the kids all around, and mom brings out the pie or the cake, puts it on the table, and then starts cutting it into pieces, and the kids say, "Oh, I want that piece, I want that piece, I want the big piece, I want the big piece." And then I have to say, "No, I'm getting the big piece, I'm getting the big piece." And then they start fighting over who gets the big piece, right? And it causes a battle, right? A conflict. Well, that hurts their relationship with one another, right? How about if a miracle happened and one of the kids said, "Okay, you can have the big piece." You know, we'd all have a heart attack at that point, but think about that. Being considerate of others. That's a novel idea. Taking them into consideration above ourselves. Aren't you glad Jesus did that for you? He considered you before he considered his own well-being. Think about that. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be kind to others, accommodating and considerate. We should be tender-hearted to others. Now, this means we will have compassion and understanding towards others. We'll try and say, "Hey, you know, if I was in his shoes, maybe I would have reacted the same way." It's this compassion and understanding of others. Instead of a judgmental, are you constantly judging the intentions and motives of others? Are you making judgment of them before you try to understand and consider their circumstances with compassion? Think about that for a minute. We need to have a tender heart towards others, trying to display compassion and understanding towards them. And then the big one. This is the big one. I promise you that you will never have a real good relationship with someone if you cannot grasp this concept. And that is the concept of true forgiveness. We need to understand what real Christ-like forgiveness is. We should forgive others like Christ forgave us. Now, forgiveness is not easy. Okay? Understand, I know that. Forgiveness is not easy. Heidi Newmark says this. When I went to pick up Shanna for Sunday school one week, she was crying and had blood on her dress. "It's my Uncle Joe," she said. I knew that her family was going through changes because of Uncle Joe and his drug addiction. Shanna had particular reason to feel bitter toward her uncle. For years, she had dreamed of owning a bicycle, and that Christmas, a donation from a church made her dream come true. Shanna rode her shiny new blue bike everywhere, bragged on it, polished it, and treasured it. Within a month, her uncle had sold the bike to buy drugs, an ample reason to embitter a 9-year-old. Now, on this morning, there was one more reason. Uncle Joe had come home wearing a t-shirt that read, "Say no to drugs." Shanna commented, "Why don't you read your own shirt?" Pretty good. He hit her, causing her nose to bleed. The white collar and yellow lace of her Sunday dress were a mess. Nothing else was clean, and everyone else was still asleep. We went to church to wash out the blood stain. When it came time in the service for the individual prayer petitions, Shanna's voice sounded bright and clear as a trumpet. "I pray for my Uncle Joe. He needs your help, Lord. Please, Jesus, help my Uncle Joe." Now, who here wants to go give Uncle Joe a beat down? Amen? I'm ready. I'm ready to go give Uncle Joe a beat down. But this young girl knew what Christ-like forgiveness was about. And she was willing to forgive, and not only forgive, but pray for the Lord to help her Uncle Joe. That is truly an expression of Christ-like forgiveness. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not. But remember why Jesus forgave you. Why did Jesus forgive you? Jesus forgave you because he wanted his relationship with you to be at peace. He wanted it to be reconciled. That was his main goal in life, that you would be reconciled with him. That should be our main goal in our relationship with others, that we be reconciled with them, that we be at peace with them. And so if forgiving someone for something that they did wrong against us, like Christ forgave us, will reconcile our relationship with that person, then that's exactly what we should do. Forgiveness is not easy, but remember why Jesus forgave you. Remember that when you ask for forgiveness from Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:9 tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is that there? Because he doesn't want anything coming in between us and him in our relationship with him. He wants to be reconciled with us all the time. And when we do sin against him, he wants a way for us to be able to be right and be at peace with him. That comes through forgiveness. And you can't have a real good relationship with someone unless you are displaying this kind of forgiveness towards that person and are willing to give this kind of forgiveness to others and try and seek that kind of forgiveness to others. So our goal in all our relationships should be peace and reconciliation. So, a peacemaker is someone who seeks peaceful reconciliation with others by giving and seeking Christ-like forgiveness. Now, Glenn Schaefer says this, during a children's sermon one Sunday morning, I held up a summer shirt that I wore around the house. I told the children that someone said the shirt was ugly and should be thrown away. I'm having trouble forgiving the person who said those mean things, I said. Do you think I should forgive that person? My daughter, Alicia, 6, raised her hand and said, you should. But why? This person hurt my feelings, I said. Because you're married to her, she replied. I love that. The little girl recognized that the relationship was more important than the t-shirt. Amen? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we recognize that our relationship with others, the number two command that God gave, is way more important than us harboring bitterness, anger, wrath, malice towards another? Absolutely. That is what we need to see here. We need to see the importance of our relationships being at peace with others and how it brings glory to the Lord. Having good relationships with others requires you being a peacemaker. So if you do hurt someone, then go to that person and ask for forgiveness. If you do hurt someone, go to that person and ask for forgiveness and be genuine. Be genuine in your apology. So often we have the wrong unbiblical concept of what an apology is. One guy said this, the comment was not meant to be a regional slur. To the extent that it was misinterpreted to be one, I apologize. That was said by U.S. Attorney Kenneth Taylor, apologizing for referring to potential jurors in eastern Kentucky as illiterate cave dwellers. Now think about that. You call people illiterate cave dwellers and then you say something like, the comment was not meant to be a regional slur. To the extent that it was misinterpreted to be one, I apologize. Is that really a genuine apology? Would anybody accept that? No, of course not. Not even illiterate cave dwellers would accept that apology. Hey, let's be genuine in our apologies. Just like you went to Christ for forgiveness. Did you make an excuse for your sin? No, of course not. You went to Jesus and said, Lord, I am a sinner. I messed up. Please forgive me. Don't have to go into an elaborate number of excuses as to why you did that. You don't have to explain the circumstances that forced you into acting badly. No, all you've got to do is ask for forgiveness with genuineness. And that is how you become a peacemaker. When someone comes to me with that kind of attitude and wanting forgiveness like that, like you would go to Christ for forgiveness, hey, I want to reconcile with that person. But if I think they're if I don't think they're for real, I'm hesitant. And that's the way it is. Now, I should forgive regardless because I want to be at peace. You know, someone called me up the other night and talked to me about their situation, and I had advised them against doing what they did, and now the situation that they're in is being caused by them not taking my advice. I didn't say, I told you so. I didn't. I didn't say, if you would have just listened to me, this would have never happened. Of course not. Because I want to be reconciled with that person. I want to just, so I said, hey, I understand and I'll pray for you. And, you know, all those things that would make it so we were reconciled together. Okay? So that's what we need to do. We need to remember our end game. Remember the goal. If you get in a fight with someone, and you get in an argument with your wife or someone like that, remember, your goal is to get reconciled to them. You say something critical or negative or bad about to your child, remember, you want to reconcile immediately. You need to reconcile that immediately. Your goal is to get it reconciled. Not to justify yourself for your actions, but get it reconciled. So if you do something to hurt your relationship with someone, go to them and ask for forgiveness. If someone does something that hurts you, try to consider their situation and exercise some compassion and understanding so you can show them Christ-like forgiveness. The kind of forgiveness that releases you from bitterness and does away with any hindrances to being at peace with that person. So, this is an extremely important principle in relationship building. Let's please the Holy Spirit of God by developing the habits of edifying speech, of abolishing disunity with others, and being a peacemaker. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember these vital truths that will help us with all of our relationships. Firstly, with our relationship with you, because you will be pleased and not grieved as we develop these habits. And secondly, develop these things so that we will be at peace with others.